Broadcasting and streaming worldwide from the Golf Club Studios, it's the Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker. Broadcasting and streaming worldwide from the Golf Club Studios, it's the Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker.
Ah, Danielle, it's Ben Crenshaw.
Ben Crenshaw. We'd like to think that it stopped raining, but it really hasn't stopped raining. We've got some showers forecast for us. Yes, indeed we do. And for instance, Saturday, today, partly sunny, scattered showers, high about 82. The winds are out of the northwest, 10 miles an hour. They'll shift to the south in the afternoon. A little northerly wind, a little southerly wind coming at you from, well, the ocean. Chance of rain, though, 40%. Tonight, mostly cloudy, scattered showers until early morning. Showers likely early in the morning, of course. The low's about 72. The winds are lighter and a chance of rain now up to 60%. And then on Sunday, mostly cloudy with showers likely and isolated thunderstorms. High about 80, winds are lighter, chance of rain is 70%. So we've got some tee times, and I think today would be a really good day if you're going to get out on the course, like the scratch team. They're on the course. Macaulay, 840, 928, 1010. That's on the Big Island. And then on Kauai at Poipu, the Kauai Farmers. They're out on the golf course checking out the grass. Poipu has a 9:50, an 11 o'clock, and a 12:10 if you'd like to join them. Kauai Lagoons has a 9:08 and a 10:40. Now, on Oahu, we've got the Swinging Skirts at Pearl at Kalaauau. There's an 8:50 if you'd like to play there, 9:20, 10:50. Turtle Bay, the Day Old Fish. You know, folks come up with these really cool little day-old fish, all right? They're on the golf course, 836, 948, 1018. Don't ask if they've showered. Raw Hawaiian Golf Club, yes, 830, 930, 1030, and the movie crew. They don't say what movie they're filming, but the movie crew, they're on the golf course. Eva Beach Golf Course has a 918, a 1040, 1150. Bayview, 8:46 and a 9:18. And now we're going to Maui. Wailea, the gold course, has an 8:40, a 9:20, a 9:50, and a 10:40. And after that, it's wide open. So there's lots of room on the gold course. Emerald has a 9:10 and a 9:50. The blue course, a 9:40, busy on the blue. And Maui Nui, there's a 9 o'clock, an 11:18, and a 12:50. So we're going to catch up now with Bob Herrig, senior writer, Sports Illustrated, author, Tiger and Phil, golf's most fascinating rivalry. He is of, well, it's been 40 years since Jack Nicklaus won his final tournament at the Masters, nearly 30 since talk of Tiger Woods chasing his record began. So he wrote Tiger and Jack, Golf's Greatest Debate. Welcome into the clubhouse, Bob Herrig.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning. I've got to ask you, you know, with those two books already, are you writing another one?
Well, you know, I've got one about to come out, right?
Oh, yes. When is it? What is it?
The Tiger versus Jack book.
That's the one. Now, can you give us a little bit of a tease about what it's about?
Yeah, well, the subtitle is Golf's Great Debate.
Yes.
And so I kind of try to dive into the debate as to who's the greatest. And I tell people, and I actually have written, that I'm not sure there's a right or wrong answer. But I think there is a lot of nuance to it, and it really depends on how you look at it. If you want to just look at majors, well, Jack won 18 and Tiger won 15, and you can go ahead and just say it's Jack.
Yeah.
It's pretty simple. He also had 19 seconds in majors, which is amazing. You know, Jack could have easily won 23, 25 majors, whereas Tiger was only runner-up 7 times. But I also try to make the argument that maybe 15 majors is the same. today or in Tiger's era is the same as 18 in Jack's. You know, I just think it was harder to win them.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, there's a lot to it. I mean, the first time they ever met, this is the 40th anniversary of Jack's last win at the Masters in 86. How did the majors evolve? Some of the other great players that might be in the discussion, like Hogan, Hagen, and Bobby Jones.
Right on.
So, yeah, it's pretty involved, and I'm glad I'm done because it took a while.
When's it coming out?
May 5th.
May 5th. All right. Fantastic. Now, did Jack ever give Tiger advice?
You know, I think he did. I think they had a nice relationship, and Jack was always very complimentary of Tiger and rooting for Tiger, you know, rooting for him to do well. And he certainly didn't want to see him come up short due to all the injuries and all the issues that Tiger went through really in the last decade or so. That's another part of the book. You know, Jack never missed a major from the time he turned pro through his 50th birthday.
Wow.
Whereas, you know, as we know, Tiger just turned 50, and he's missed more than two dozen.
Yeah.
In that time. I mean, it's just an incredible amount of opportunities lost. Some of them in his prime.
Yeah.
You know, he missed two in 08, he missed two in 2011, he missed two in 14. You know, that's six majors before he even turned 40, where, you know, if a healthy Tiger would have probably been the favorite.
Yeah, and so, why did he miss those?
Well, in 08, he had knee surgery after he won the U.S. Open. In 2011, at the Masters, he hurt his Achilles and his ankle or his knee. After a really strong run at the Masters, he missed the U.S. Open and the Open that year. In 14, he had his first back surgery, so he missed two majors, the Masters and the U.S. Open, and that was actually the first of seven back procedures. That's six right there.
Yeah.
He didn't play a major at all in 16 and 17. Eight majors gone. So now there's 14 majors missed, you know. So, and that was around the time, you know. Obviously, Tiger won a major at 43 in 2019. Well, why couldn't he have won one at 40 or 41 in 2016 or 17?
Uh-huh.
If he had been healthy.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, his body. I guess all of those surgeries were necessary. Why else have them? But. What was it? I mean, he always looks so fit and so strong. And it's odd hearing that Jack Nicklaus, did he have all these surgeries? No.
No.
There's probably a couple
of things in play there. I mean, Tiger had a left knee issue even going back to when he was in college.
Uh-huh.
So that's not necessarily something that you can... That's just maybe bad luck,
uh-huh.
You know, and over time, that was going to be an issue for him. But the back problems, you wonder, was it due to too much heavy weight
lifting training?
Yes. Was it due to some of these stories we heard about him training with Navy SEALs?
Yes.
You know, injuring himself? Did he get too bulky out up top? You know, Tiger, when he first came out, it's amazing if you go back and look at the video or the photos, he was so wiry and wispy.
He was a skinny guy. Yeah.
You know, I mean, he was, you know what, 6'2", 6'1", and probably 160 pounds.
Right.
But he still hit the ball a mile, and it was because his hips, he had the most amazing hip turn. Most of us can't get our hips through fast enough, which is why we come over the top of the ball. The arms come out. Look, I'm no golf pro expert, but I know enough about Tiger. Most of us, the golf swing, you flip your hands through the ball because your hips don't get through quick enough. Tiger's hips were so fast and he generated so much speed that the issue he got into many times was he got stuck. His arms would be too slow to the ball, and that's when he would push it out to the right or have those were the issues Tiger faced, not as much as the average guy, but that's what helped him get amazing speed. But at some point in time, he felt like he needed to get stronger. And, you know, you see him today even. He looks like the mini version of a free safety, you know. And I'm guessing, you know, if you could give Tiger truth serum, after he had the car crash that really hurt his leg, he felt he had to get even stronger up top because his swing was going to become more arm-oriented. And, you know, when Tiger played in the last time in 2024, he had no problem getting the ball out there. He hit it over 300 yards. He has plenty of power still. He just doesn't have the same drive with his legs.
We're talking with Bob Harrig, senior writer covering golf for Sports Illustrated. More than 25 years experience on the beat, including 15 at ESPN. Harrig's a regular guest on Sirius XM PGA Tour Radio. And he's written, as we mentioned earlier, the two books, Drive, The Lasting Legacy of Tiger Woods, and Tiger and Phil, Golf's Most Fascinating Rivalry. Now, we're going to flip the script a little bit here and switch out from Tiger and Jack and head over to Live Golf. I mean, I love your reaction. Is it the end for Live? I mean, what's going on?
Yeah, it's been a bit of a tumultuous week for Liv. It's been a tumultuous week for those of us who cover this stuff. You know, we all just got back from the Masters. It's normally a little bit of a sleepy time in golf unless you go to Hilton Head. And this all sort of erupted starting Tuesday night our time and all day into Wednesday. Are they dead? I don't think so. I think their demise is a bit premature, but there's clearly smoke. There's clearly an issue. And they're going to play this year out.
Yeah.
Will they play beyond this year? Is that a question? Yes. Could they still go beyond it? Definitely. I mean, my understanding is the public investment fund, which backs them, the Saudi wealth fund, which is, you know, worth billions, okay?
Mm-hmm.
They've just decided they want to redirect their efforts, and they want to pull back on this. And so this is not like a business that is running out of money and can't pay the electric bill anymore. this is a business that has plenty of money and just decided we don't want to spend it on this anymore.
And you know what?
Now,
I'm sorry. I just have to interject really quick. Part of it is they want to be winning over the PGA Tour. If you're going to spend billions of dollars to make Liv Golf, you should at least be contending against PGA Tour and maybe showing it up. You know, and here they are still just a little tiny league that's doing its thing over there. And now, yes, they have crowds, though, don't they? They do have crowds in some places.
Yep. I mean, look, their whole thing, I'm not quite sure that their mission was always on the same page.
Okay.
Craig Norman, their first commissioner, said, we want to be additive. Well, additive means extra, right? So, in other words, I could watch the PGA Tour, and I could watch Liv.
Yes.
Well, you really can't do that. You have to choose. You know, Liv is on this afternoon, our time, just like the PGA Tour is. And if you have to choose, that's not additive. You know, I mean, sure, yeah, you can tape it or watch highlights, that sort of thing. They've also chosen to play on some of the biggest weeks of the year for the PGA Tour. They played the same week as the Arnold Palmer. Now, granted, it was, you know, in a different time zone. They played the same week as the Players' Championship, the biggest tour event outside the majors.
Yeah.
you know, and a lot of it is overnight. You know, they're in different time zones, so they've had one of the tenets of any professional sport is you have to have a robust TV media rights deal. The tour gets a roughly $700 million a year domestically only. That doesn't include international fees. $700 million covers all their purses. Obviously, that's not how it works. But basically, if you boil it down to that, the TV money pays for the purses throughout the year. Obviously, the tour has sponsorships. They have all kinds of other revenue sources. For Liv, their TV deal is believed to be very modest. Like, I'd be surprised if they're getting $5 million a week. So for, you know, what is it, 14 tournaments, that's barely $70 million. Well, their purses are $30 million a week. They've got $400-plus million in purses. So their TV revenue doesn't come close to denting it. And then, you know, you've got – they don't really have – a lot of title sponsorship. They do have sponsors. They've gained sponsors, but I don't know if it's to the tune to be able to pay for their tournaments, which probably are costing them $40 million plus a week when you consider that their purses are $30 million. You know, and the other thing that's lost in this, and you would know this obviously, all the tournaments on the PGA Tour are run by a local host organization.
Yes, yes.
I can't tell you. I don't remember the name of it at the Sony Open. It might be the Friends of Hawaii or
yes,
something like that.
Right.
But anyway, they own the tournament. They run it. They pay for all the infrastructure there. You know, they if they have to rent the course, they hire volunteers. They sell sponsorships. They sell all the tickets. They run the pro-am. They take care of all the build-out for the spectators, the grandstands, the luxury suites, the roping, and then they pay their bills, and they pay their salaries, and they give the extra to charity. Liv has to pay for all of that itself. It does not have local entities that own the events. So, like, the expense is massive, and it's an incredible undertaking what they've tried to do here. But the reason I say it's not necessarily done is because they can do whatever they want. They could change their mind. You know, they could elect to say, you know what, instead of giving you $400 million a year, we're only going to give you $100 million a year, and you have to make up the rest, which maybe they can do. I don't know. But it's definitely very tenuous. And I've been telling people, and I've written and will write again, that if this were all not true, you come out and deny it vehemently right away. There was an information vacuum in the first 12 hours of all this, first 15 hours, where they didn't say anything. And they were clearly circling the wagons because I don't think they had all the information themselves. So, you know, typically when there's bad news, if it's bad and you know it's wrong, you try to get out in front of it.
Mm-hmm.
If it's bad and it's right, You run and hide, or you try to switch the narrative, which is what they've kind of done. What's the typical thing people do nowadays when they don't like a story? They blame the media. they shoot the messenger.
Right.
And we've seen a lot of that this week, you know. And as I've pointed out to colleagues and others, there's a lot of media outlets that were reporting this, and they have no reason to lie. They have no reason to make it up.
Exactly.
It's a very interesting time. We'll see how it plays out. My feeling is they'll play the rest of the year. They play through August. There'll be a lot of chatter about whether or not they're going to close the doors after that. And I frankly don't know if they will. I'm not convinced that they will.
Well,
because they want to be in golf. They want to be in sports. I don't think they want the embarrassment of this. And so they might try to salvage it in some way. But to my point earlier about the purses, they probably need to lower them. You know, they need to stop. You know, they have concerts at their tournaments. They have paragliders flying in. They've got all these expenses. You've got to start cutting back on some of that stuff. Make it about the golf. you know, make it about the golf.
Yeah, absolutely. And they've also said in a statement that I remember hearing and reading that they've got enough money to get through this year. But next year, they're going to have to get more sponsors, people coming in and throwing, right?
So how do you do that when you've, you know, the reason there's negativity around that is how do you do that when you've had, when you've struggled to do it already? And if there is negativity about you existing beyond this, well, who's going to want to invest in you? Like, are people going to be timid about that? They've been timid about it already.
Yeah.
Doesn't this make it harder? The other thing that's out there is, you know, they have these 13 teams. The goal at the beginning was to sell them as franchises.
Right.
So all of these teams would have owners.
Yeah.
You know, sort of a bigger version of TGL.
Yeah.
You know, TGL, the indoor thing, you know, like... Arthur Blank, who owns the Atlanta Falcons, he owns one of those teams. In theory, you take on the expenses of that team. That means the travel, and that takes a burden off of Liv. And not to mention, it's a revenue source for Liv. Whatever they sell the franchises for goes back to them. Well, they've not sold one. You know, and how are you going to sell them in this climate? Am I going to buy into a team if I think they're going to shut down?
Exactly.
You know, so this is where they've got some credibility issues to deal with going forward as well.
Let's, Jed, we've got a couple of minutes here. The Masters, huge number for CBS. Absolutely fantastic. And there were 10 LIV golfers in the field. Tyrrell Hatton amongst them, Henrik Stenson. He's left. A lot of guys are leaving. They're coming back to the PGA Tour. They've got to pay their dues, so to speak. I was absolutely stuck on the television during the Masters. I bet you were too. Or you were there.
Yep. I was there, and you know, it was a great weather week. You had Rory up there every day.
Yes.
You know, Rory's probably one of the biggest draws on the tour. I think that explains why the ratings were so good. You know, and yet the thing that probably really pushed the ratings is Rory's 6-shot lead going into Saturday was gone, and
yes.
So it was compelling. I mean, you didn't know who was going to win, and on Sunday. It could have been Rory. It could have been Cam Young. It could have been Justin Rose. Scottie Scheffler made a run. You know, I thought it was a very good Masters. It wasn't as drama filled as the year before when Roy won, but it was still very good.
It was very good, very very good. As is talking with you, Bob Herrig. It's been way too long. I certainly enjoyed this. Thank you so much for taking time out with me.
Thanks a lot for having me. Be well.
You too. Aloha. We're going to come back. We've got so much more going on for you. We've got a really nice list of people coming in, including Ben Hongo from Maui, right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
PGA Junior League is a fun team golf experience for kids that the entire family can enjoy.
Boys and girls learn the game from PGA and LPGA professionals and have a great time with friends.
Find your team and get ready for a fun and exciting PGA Junior League season.
No high fives for me?
I want to see you out playing in your jersey and having fun. Visit PGAJuniorLeague.com.
Your fingertips, Aloha Power Equipment.
Power outages can hit without warning. Keep the lights on with a Honda generator from Aloha Power Equipment. You'll never be left in the dark with Honda's lightweight, easy-starting, super quiet generators. Put the power of a Honda generator to work for you.
We put power at your fingertips, Aloha Power Equipment.
What's a great way to shape up your golf? Polish your swing at the Newtown Golf Driving Range, located in Iaea. Stop by to warm up before your round, or wind down after work and hit a few balls. Enjoy great food from our popular Newtown Cafe and check out the Asau Golf Shop for the most up-to-date golf equipment and club repairs. The Newtown Driving Range, operated by the Casey Nakama Golf Group. Good golf, good food, and good fun.
Ah, here's the local rule sign. Keep it in the fairway. It speeds up play. Now, back to Danielle Tucker.
Hey, Ben Hongo, PGA member of the PGA of America, the largest sports organization composed of PGA of America golf professionals.
Invalid option.
Sorry about that. The telephone system is kicking back at us. I love it when it does that. No. So Ben Hongo, yes, he is the member of the PGA of America, the largest sports organization composed of PGA of America golf professionals. They work daily to grow interest and participation in the game, and they're fantastic teachers. Ben Hongo, head teaching professional at Kapalua Golf Academy, director of instruction, Hongo Golf, hongogolf.com. Golf Digest said best teacher in Hawaii voted by his peers 2024-2025. In 2023, Aloha Section Golf Professional of the Year and the Horton Smith Award in 2018. Aloha Section PGA has awarded him Teacher of the Year, Youth Development Leader of the Year. And now he's in the clubhouse with us, and I asked him, what would you like to talk about? Unfortunately, we don't have Ben Hongo. Maybe we're having some problems with the telephone system. We'll have to get him on. I asked him, what would you like to talk about? And he said something, I loved it. How to get the most out of practice. How to get the most out of practice. I mean, so many of us sit and our brain is working this and that and talking about how we're not doing it right. That's the brain talking, blah, 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 blah. And so I thought this is the perfect time for us to really get into that, because we got to get the mind out of there and just let the body take over. There's times to kick it out. But he's not with us yet, so we're going to have to cut out and get into another break, because Steve Pike is going to be with us, and Aaron Straub, Senior Vice President of Operations, Concert Golf Partners. Got a big show for you coming up. Michael Patrick Shields is going to close it up for us, and we just might get, do we, yes. And yes, Ben Hongo, I have sung your praises. You are amazing, all the awards and accolades you've received. And I've just told our audience that, when I asked you what you'd like to talk about as a golf professional, as a teacher, and you said, how about we talk about how to get the most out of your practice? And Ben, welcome into the clubhouse.
Good morning.
And of course, I went on and on about how the brain, the mind, the talk, that talking thing that goes on in your head all the time when you're, yes. Yeah, how do you get rid of that? But first, how do we get the most out of practice?
Well, I think, what I see a lot of people do is, they're practicing, they're just hitting golf balls. And, if you take just a learning process, such as like multiplication chart, at some point, when we're doing the math and whatnot, we start to memorize, one times one is one, all the way to 12 times 12 is 144. Right. And, there was a structure in that, in that process of learning. And I think that's really important. And I don't think a lot of people, like when I see people on the driving range, they don't have any type of alignment rods or any type of a structure, to control their setup, whether it's their grip or their posture or their alignment, ball placement, all these things come in play. So I think that's the first thing, is to, come up with some type of a game plan that's like, hey, these are kind of your flaws, whether you take a golf lesson or whatever it is. Come up with a plan, and also learn how to create a practice stations and whatnot. So that's the first thing I would say to people. It's like, okay, let's make sure that you know how to, you know, create some type of a structure to attack whatever your flaws is. That's the first thing.
When you talk about station, practice station, how should I set it up? What is it? You know, I make a decision that I'm going to work on X and get there, and this is what I'm going to need to have with me to do what I want to do?
Yeah, so, you know, it's going to depend on the person, obviously. And this is where we as golf professional, you know, come in play, because I can help, you know, my players go, okay, these are things that you probably want to, you know, and everybody's station may be a little bit different, right?
Sure.
So, yeah. So, you know, I go on the, you know, like, you know, when we used to have a tour event in Kapalua, you know, I spend, you know, hours on the range just watching the players practice and warm up. And it's just, you know, nobody just goes up there and just hits golf balls to hit golf balls. You know, there's some purpose in what they're trying to do. So whether they have their coach there, or maybe their caddies helping them out, or, you know, most of them, you know, I would say almost all of them put some type of a, you know, alignment rod or something to set up their station. Also, you know, a lot of times when I'm starting a lesson, I'll allow my players to warm up, and I'll give them a few minutes. But the question I always ask is, hey, by the way, what are you aiming at? Or what's your target? And a lot of people go, oh, I'm supposed to have a target? You know, so just, you know, to me, it's pretty basic or elementary, but, you know, that's where I would start, is to, you know, come up, you know, have a target in mind, and also create some type of a station that works for you.
Do we obsess too much about, you know, a lot of people think about trying to hit the ball. That's the most important thing to them, is that club coming down in the right place and coming in contact with that little white or whatever color it is ball, and it goes, you know, where I want it to go. So,
yeah, I think there's a lot of emphasis on hitting the golf ball. At the end of the day, that's kind of what it's going to come down to. But, you know, if you're, you know, let's just say if you are, you know, making a significant change in your golf swing, you know, your coordination, your hand-eye coordination to hit a golf ball, you know, it's going to take a time for it to adapt and change. So I, you know, as much as I can in my lessons, you know, kind of de-emphasize the, you know, what the ball's doing, and just kind of talk a little bit about and watch out for what's going on with their golf swings and whatnot. That's why I like, you know, pretty much 100% of my lessons, there's some type of a video part of it.
Right on.
You know, so people can see it.
Yeah.
And I would say to people also, if they do practice a lot, you know, the best $100 you can spend, you know, you can't get much for $100 anymore, but is a tripod for your phone.
And then you video yourself.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I do it all the time for myself, you know, because I can't see myself swing.
Right.
So obviously, you know, I need to see what's going on. But I think that's probably the best $100 you can spend. So you can start to monitor what's going on in your golf swing.
That's a fantastic idea. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Now, you know that voice in your head, the one that keeps, you know, gnawing at you? You know, is there a way to turn that off?
It's, I don't know, somebody once told me this, and it kind of makes sense, but, you know, people always kind of say something about, like, you should play golf with empty head or not have a lot of swing thoughts and stuff like that. And this one person told me once, it's like, well, if you're not thinking about nothing, okay, you're inviting for things to pop up in your head. So, you know, I think what you can do is you can distract some of those voices by having a authoritative voice saying, hey, you know, let's say if I'm talking to myself, I go, hey, Ben, I want you to do this, whatever that might be, instead of letting all these, you know, smaller players come into my head. So that's what I tried to do. I mean, I had a mentor, I mean, you know, back in high school.
Right.
And he was a really, really good player. And he went the opposite. He'd get over the golf ball, and he would tell himself, oh, I'm going to shank it, I'm going to shank it, I'm going to slice it, I'm going to slice it.
Whoa.
He would say that to like 10 times. And once I go, why do you do that to yourself? And he goes, well, you know, if I say that like 10 times, after a while, it just kind of drowns itself out. And like, I'm like, all right, if that works for you. But everybody does it differently. So.
Yes, exactly. You're not alone with the voice in your head. It's just how you deal with it.
Yeah. And, you know, up. I think the part two about practicing, you know, yes. once you kind of have your structure kind of, you know, created, you know, 12 times 12 is 144, you know, then it becomes like you're memorizing. So if you just keep on doing that same thing over and over and over, and there are a lot of people experience this, you know, they're great on the driving range and they go on the golf course and they can't do it. And the reason why is the number one request I get at the beginning of a lesson is, Ben, I want to be more consistent. But when you really think about the game of golf, you know, you drive with a driver and the ball's teed up 2 inches or whatever off of a flat lie. And then the next shot, you're on the side hill lie and the ball's in the rough and you got a pitching wedge, which is 10 inches shorter than the driver. Mm-hmm. And then the next shot, you're in the sand, you know, so on, so on. You know, even if you hit it perfect down the middle of the fairway, it's not the same as a driver, you know, hitting a 7-iron from the middle of the fairway. Then you hit the ball on the green, then the putting is totally different. So the game is actually made out of all these inconsistencies. So what you want to try to do, once you kind of establish some stability in your golf swing, is to actually to create randomness in your practice.
What?
So you're not practicing the same thing all the time. So a lot of times I'll get my my players to go, okay, let's grab a driver, 6-iron, a wedge, and we hit 2 drives, 2 6-irons, 2 pitching wedges. And then for my elite players, you know, we'll do like 3-ball challenges where, okay, you got to hook one, you got to slice one, and you have to hit the ball straight. Or you have to hit the ball low, mid, high, you know, stuff like that. Sometimes I'll even yell out slice at the top of the golf swing and they have to create a slice swing.
Wow.
So you start to create a little bit more of a randomness. And there's all these studies that's kind of, you know, that's been done by universities and whatnot that proves that random practice is more powerful than just block practicing.
And that's fantastic news. Yeah, this is Ben Hongo, a runner, a foodie, a sushi cuisine lover, lover of the game of golf. Ben Hongo's been a member of the Aloha Section PGA since 1989, when he first accepted an assistant golf professional position at Kapalua Golf. And he's at Kapalua Golf. You want to get a lesson, go see Ben Hongo, PGA member, PGA of America, the largest sports organization composed of PGA of America golf professionals who work daily to grow the interest in the game and participation in the game. Ben, thank you so much for being in the clubhouse.
Thanks for having me, and have a great weekend.
You too. Aloha. We're coming back with Steve Pike, Spike on golfandtravel.com. After this, my name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the Golf Club.
When Sears opened here more than 60 years ago, who made all their signs? The Honolulu Sign Company, to 1724 Hart Street off Waikamila Road on the Evaside. They do building marquees, letter signs and lighted signs, parking and tow signs of every kind, OSHA compliance signs, custom signs of all types. Call 847-4047. Licensed and insured Honolulu Sign, serving Hawaii since 1939, where quality and service have not been forgotten. Call 847-4047 now.
Poipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore. Share our home with need a gift for that special someone? Tired of giving fruit baskets you know are getting recycled? Give a Poipu Bay golf gift certificate. Whether it's a birthday, business, or anniversary, here's the one gift that is always the right size and the perfect date. Just give us a call and it will be waiting for you to pick up or mail to your office. There may even be time to sneak in a 9. Call us for the perfect gift, where great golf is played every day at Poipu Bay on the Garden Isle.
Well, it finally stopped raining, kind of, sort of. It's not raining as much. It's going to rain, they said, over the weekend, and a 60% chance of rain, mostly at night. But let's go back to it finally stopped raining. That's a nice one. Right now, it's not raining in Honolulu. To help you through the chaos we've been through, Aloha Power, after the rain sale. It is the after the rain sale. That's for Honda generators and pumps and chainsaws and whackers and trimmers and a whole lot more, up to 25% off. We have service, parts, accessories for every rider. From home to commercial sized, you know the deal. You mow it, you blow it, let's blow it all together. You bag it, and you're done. Get what you need at Aloha Power Equipment, Iwilei, next to the Costco gas station, and in Waipahu.
What does your company sell? Do you provide a service, fill a need, sell insurance or real estate, or that must-have new car? Become a sponsor of Danielle Tucker's The Golf Club Radio Show. We reach a pure target audience of business owners. Let us help you. We have affordable rates, and it's easy to do. Just email rick@radiogolfclub.com or call Rick at 808-220-1000. Reach the people like you who are too busy running their business. That's rick@radiogolfclub.com or call 808-220-1000.
Hey, Mark Rolfing here. The First Tee Hawaii is a nonprofit organization that helps kids build character, confidence, and life skills through golf. And we need volunteers like you to coach our next generation of golfers. No matter your skill level, our free coach training gives you tools to mentor kids. We have locations on all the islands, and enrollment is open now for our Level 1 coach certification. Call 808-500-1515.
Off a tree, hit a rock, and bounce next to the pin. That's my kind of golf. Now, back to Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club.
Steve Pike. Spike on golf and travel.com. That's where you'll find him. He covers luxury travel, golf, culinary, cruise, sports business, Spike's golf and travel, media, and then there's, of course, his book, Spike's Peaks, The Art of Travel. Welcome into the clubhouse, Steve. Oh, we don't have Steve? We're having one of those days. Yo, Steve! Make the phone call. Oh, please call in. Or maybe we need to call Steve and get him on. Because, I mean, he has one of the coolest stories. And I'm just going to have to go straight into it while we're trying to get a hold of Steve. I'm not sure what's going on today. Maybe everybody's sleeping in. It's just one of those things, you know. I did mention that he's a travel, culinary, golf writer. Climbed the volcanoes in the Canary Islands. He's swam with the sharks off Guadalupe Island. He's ascended the Great Wall of China. He's dived into Australia's Great Barrier Reef. He's teed off in the Austrian Alps. Can you imagine playing golf in the Austrian Alps? He shared single malt scotch with Sir Michael Bonalak at the Royal and Ancient Golf Club of St. Andrews in Scotland. Yes. Welcome into the clubhouse, Steve.
Hi, Danielle. How are you?
Good. I love that sentence. I mean, I don't know. That's a really long sentence. You've been around the block, haven't you?
A few times, but when you get to be my age, you know, that's kind of what happens. But I've been very fortunate.
You have been. And I've got to tell you, the number one story that I found on your site, and I went, wow, Kohana Iki receives a major Audubon Award. Kohana Iki.
It's a great property, and it certainly deserves it. It's I love that part of the Big Island. It's all green and lush and all. It's a tremendous spot.
Yeah, and it got the Audubon International Gold Signature Sanctuary Award for its golf course. That's fantastic.
It's a Reese Jones designed golf course. But you know, it you have to do a lot to be able to to qualify for that and to show people that I think that you're really serious about the environment and the ecosystem around you.
Yeah, yeah. So Kohana Iki is now amongst one of 14 Gold Signature Sanctuary courses worldwide within the Audubon's network of more than 2,000 mm-hmm. certified courses globally. Well, congratulations, Kohana Iki, on the Big Island. That's absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, it's really green and lush there. It's really nice.
Let's go now.
Yes, exactly.
All right. Now, Augusta, what takeaway do you have from Augusta National and the Masters?
I think the takeaway is that Rory McIlroy was the best player going in, and he was the best player leaving. I think in a lot of ways in a major, but particularly at the Masters, there's two things. It either becomes a sprint to the finish or a last man standing event. And I think this time it was a sprint to the finish, and Rory beat everybody else there. He was aggressive most of the time, and he just kept his foot on the pedal the whole time. And if they caught him, fine. If they didn't, then he was going to win, and that's what happened.
Yeah, but Saturday blew me away. I mean, Thursday, Friday, it's like, wow, this guy, wow, you know, six, wow. And then what happened on Saturday?
Well, what happens is what happens to a lot of people, and I shouldn't say a lot of people, even players of McIlroy's stature and talent. It's tough to be in the lead or near the top of any major championship all 4 days and not have a hiccup somewhere along the way. And that's what happened. After a while, you've been there for so long, and this isn't making excuses, but you know, you've been there since Monday or Sunday or whenever, and you've got so many outside things that you have to do, going to the champions dinner, doing this, doing that, all the interviews. Uh-huh. And maybe the first day, the first couple of days, you're playing on a lot of adrenaline. And then by the time you get to Saturday, it's just like there's nothing left.
Right. I hear you.
Yeah, your mind wants to do it, but your body's just saying it's just not there today.
Right.
And there's not a whole lot you can do about that. I remember a story that my friend told me one time about. That's a tennis story. We won't tell you, sorry.
Hey, tennis and golf, a lot of folks do the same.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Augusta National, what's up with the Masters gnomes? People are talking about, they shouldn't be there anymore. What's going on with the...
Well, I think people are trying to find ways to criticize the Masters, and I think, on the other hand, the Masters is trying to figure out ways to appeal more to the masses. It's just another marketing ploy. I mean, if they want to put out gnomes for sale, I mean, so what? Every major tournament, every PGA Tour event almost has, special little toys and caps and all that they put out. I don't think this is really any different. If you can get one, fine. If you can't, well, then better luck next year.
Little gnomes, little garden gnomes, they're
right.
Innocuous
yeah.
little things. Well, all of a
right.
sudden,
it's a gnome. Get over it.
Precisely. I was like, really? You guys, that's something where we want to argue. How about course evolution? In an article recently you wrote, I think, you argued... is how it was put in the paper. Ongoing, often debated increase in course length for the Masters. What do you?
Well, I think if they think they need to do that, if Fred Ridley thinks they need to do that in order to protect the golf course, that's fine. They have the money and the land to do that. That's fine. I think my argument was with Ridley's. stance on the rollback of the golf balls, where he, you know, is siding with the USGA
yes.
on that. And my take is that if he doesn't want the golf ball to overpower the golf course, then that's fine. He can, as they often do at the Masters, make up their own rules. But to sort of put that as an umbrella, and he's not the only one who does it, when he says that, well, the golf courses are becoming obsolete because guys are hitting it too far and this kind of stuff, and we need to protect these golf courses. And, well, no, you really don't, because they're all the tournaments that they play, whether it's at Harbortown this week or wherever, those are one-offs. The other 51 weeks of the year, no one's hitting it too far. So, and if it's too expensive. I think Ridley's quote was something like, "Well, you have to roll back the ball because it's getting too expensive to buy the land and for this and that stuff."
Wait a minute.
Well, that's kind of your problem. That's not my problem. That's not the USGA's problem.
I don't think
it is. That's really not the tour's problem.
No. It's not even, Augusta National's problem. They've got so much money. What does it matter if they need to carve out?
But you have to, in a way, he's looking at protecting the business, which is fine.
Okay.
Because, but you don't want to spend any, you don't have to spend any more money finding more land and figure out more ways to make the course longer than you have to. But I don't think just because you do it, that doesn't mean that everybody has to be rolled back because it's costing Augusta too much to buy more land.
Thank you. Yes. Yeah, you, for all of us who definitely can't hit it that far.
Right.
And another take I wanted to ask you about was Scottie Scheffler, our number one player. He just didn't seem to have, the oomph on during the Masters.
Again, he's one of these guys who, when you're a top player, one of the more recognizable players in the game, and there's a lot of people tugging on you outside of those gates, to do this interview, to do that interview, to be able to do this, to be able to do that, and there's only so many hours in the day where you can practice, and you've got the family and everything else. Sometimes everything just doesn't add up to go your way. Whether they're, you call them distractions or not, I mean, sometimes it just doesn't work out that your head is just not there.
Right.
And I'm not saying that's the case for Scotty, but I mean, there's only one winner. There's only one player who can win, and sometimes the player, regardless of how well he plays, it just comes up a little bit short. That's the way it goes.
There's a movie, There Can Be Only One. And that when you said there can only be one, it's true. Yeah,
there can be only one. I mean, you guys come up, a split second short at Daytona, or a split second short at the racetrack, too. But that's the way it goes. That's the nature of sports. You can only really have one winner.
That's right. And it's so fun talking with you. You'll have to be on again soon. Let me know when you can be. Steve Pike, yes. Where can we find you, Steve?
My website is spikesongolfandtravel.com.
So I've got that right? Covering luxury travel, golf, culinary, cruise, sports business, Spikes Golf and Travel. Yes, you can get the lowdown if you go to spikeongolfandtravel.com. Steve, thanks so much for being inside the clubhouse.
Thank you, Danielle.
Aloha. We're going to come back. We're going to go to concert golf. Doesn't that sound nice? A concert golf. So relaxing. I feel relaxed. Right after this, my name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the Golf Club.
I'm Paul Morikawa, 2020 PGA Champion. In every golf journey, some goals can feel like an uphill climb, even intimidating, especially if you're on your own. But in the game of golf, helping hands are all around us. Whether you dream of a championship or you're just trying to make golf your thing, PGA coaches have industry-leading knowledge, guidance, and support to help you take the next step. Just like my PGA coach, Rick Sessinghaus, has always done for me. Wherever your golf journey is headed, a PGA coach can get you there. Find your PGA coach at pga.com/coach.
If you want more consistency and more distance in your golf swing, schedule a session with Coach Claude Brousseau, PGA Master and Director of Player Development at the Wailea Golf Academy. He's ranked number one teacher in Hawaii by Golf Digest since 2019 and three-time PGA Teacher of the Year. Claude will simplify your game and make you better. Scratch golfer or just beginning, call Claude at 808-856-9458 or by email, claudeforbestgolf@gmail.com. That's 808-856-9458. And have more fun playing golf.
We put power at your fingertips. Aloha Power Equipment.
Power outages can hit without warning. Keep the lights on with a Honda generator from Aloha Power Equipment. You'll never be left in the dark with Honda's lightweight, easy-starting, super quiet generators. Put the power of a Honda generator to work for you.
We put power at your fingertips. Aloha Power Equipment.
What's a great way to shape up your golf? Polish your swing at the Newtown Golf Driving Range located in Iaea. Stop by to warm up before your round or wind down after work and hit a few balls. Enjoy great food from our popular Newtown Cafe and check out the Asau Golf Shop for the most up-to-date golf equipment and club repairs. The Newtown Driving Range, operated by the Casey Nakama Golf Group. Good golf, good food, and good fun.
Man, I thought that was in the cup. It bounced out. I've been robbed. Now, back to the clubhouse with Danielle Tucker.
And thank you so much. Aaron Straub, Senior Vice President of Operations, Concert Golf Partners in Lake Mary, Florida, is where he's stationed. I bet you he gets around the world a whole lot of times. Aaron Straub, welcome into the clubhouse.
Well, thank you very much for having me. It's so wonderful to be here.
It's great. Where are you? Are you in Florida?
I am today. I'm in Orlando, Florida, but you were exactly right. I jet around.
You jet around. Tell us, you know, what is Concert Golf Partners?
Well, Concert Golf Partners is a growing collection of really unique boutique private country clubs that I'm really happy to say can truthfully be said is coast to coast from California to Massachusetts.
Wow.
And down to Florida. So it's a wonderful company providing excellent service to the discerning club member.
Wow. So you find a course, a clubhouse that's all done, and or do you build them? Tell us how it works.
Oh, yeah. No, great question. Thank you. You know, we started right after the Great Recession, which is fading into memory. But what we found was that there was just such a great number of wonderful golfers who wanted that private club experience. But the governance of their clubs was a little bit challenged. It didn't, and I'm speaking very broadly here, but it didn't have a lot of the expertise needed. So our founder and CEO, Peter Nanula, started partnering with some of those clubs that needed the capital investment and the expertise and service to really elevate their properties to the standards that really was what the members required and what, frankly, they deserved. And, you know, it started small, and we saw that there was a real, you know, niche market to provide some great capital and some amazing expertise to tie that together with amazing properties and amazing members to just deliver private golf in a way that is curated and boutique.
Nice. So it's a very private for people. It's a private country club setting.
Yes, all of them are private. That is one of our core missions and really the area that we very much enjoy providing service for. All are private, high-end, really some stunning locations throughout the country, providing you know, providing some exceptional service and of course, some exceptional courses for our members to play.
Right on. Okay, so Concert Golf Partners, this is great, purchased the club at New Seabury on Cape Cod and just named the number one deal within the private club industry by Golf Inc. magazine. New Seabury was called the Pebble Beach of the East by legendary U.S. Open champion Francis Ouimet. What makes this club such an amazing part of the Concert Golf Partners experience is what I've got to ask you.
Oh, thanks for asking. We were so excited about this property from the very beginning, and it was a property that just showed so much already, and coupled with our, you know, ability to bring in some really tailored opportunities for the members in the property, it just felt like a perfect fit, and it really has become that. Francis Ouimet is a legend, obviously, in the golf world, and, you know, he really enjoyed being there. It is very much, having been at both properties several times, I can tell you that it is very much like an East Coast Pebble, you know, not as windswept and rustic with the large cliffs, but you're playing that front nine of the ocean course, and you're looking off out over the water, and you see, you know, Martha's Vineyard, and sometimes you can see Nantucket poking out.
Wow.
And it's just a gorgeous place to play golf that feels to me almost like, you know, a Scottish Lynx experience with a Massachusetts flair to it. It's just a spectacular piece of property. And you couple that with, you know, we inherited a membership that is just so committed and driven to their property and to the legacy of that property and to the heritage of golf. And we have just been blown away, truly. And, you know, the projects that we're putting in place to upscale the amenities and modernize the member experience while still being so thoughtful and so focused on, you know, the heritage of this property has been a dream to work on, frankly. It's just like, been so much fun.
It's like a movie back, you know, drop. It's like
it feels like that.
Yes, yeah. I bet. And, you know, the nine holes running along Nantucket Sound, it's like, wow. It's in a whole new world. Absolutely spectacular. Tell me about your acquisition of Battleground Country Club. It's Battleground and Country Club, like they're two separate things, but this goes together very nicely.
I think it does, too. I have to tell you that, you know, we really cherish history at each one of our clubs, but we have never approached a club with the history that Battleground has, where there's an overlook of the course that George Washington stood on during the Revolutionary War to decide how he was going to approach the British. I don't think we are sure exactly where the actual battlefield is anymore, but we certainly have an understanding of where George Washington and his fellow generals were, and unique for us. We have a really nice partnership with the New Jersey Historical Society or some association with them where they have an easement and an access to make sure that they and the public can enjoy learning about where General Washington stood and how he approached this part of the Revolutionary War. It's just such a fascinating piece of our history. And in our 250th year as America, to be able to welcome in a connection to that brave struggle and our first president, amazing guy, is just fabulous.
Yeah, and it's just so you get a kind of a, you know, listening, you can get an idea. It's between New York City and Trenton, New Jersey. It's like, wow.
Yep.
It just seems, and I don't know, I don't have any history on Hal Purdy, who was, I guess, the person who actually designed the course.
Yes.
Can you give us a little bit of background on Hal?
Well, Hal was a unique guy. He was a student of a lot of the what we would call classic architecture, but he liked putting his own twist on it. And I think he was really taken by this area because of its synergy with George Washington. It is. It also has another fairly unique place in golfing lore, in that it really was the starting point for everyone's favorite golf announcer. He got his first job there, Jim Nantz.
Wow.
So I just wanted to say that really, really briefly. And there's still members that remember a young Mr. Nantz running around in the golf shop helping them with their golf. So all in all, just a wonderful gem with a lot of uniqueness and just a pretty rolling, beautiful layout that, as you say, is right between New York and Trenton, but you get to the club and you feel like you are stepping back in time. There is not a pressure of housing. There is not a pressure of, you know, even a sight line to buildings. You get out on that property and you really feel like you are enjoying a New Jersey that many people don't get to see, frankly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Pretty fantastic.
Yeah. It's exactly how I was thinking about it. You know, it's just like I'm in a battleground. I'm where it all happened. I'm where I'm with George Washington. You know, it's a wonderful feeling. And this must have been a wonderful feeling. Battlegrounds owners, the Mashler family and Michael McCarthy, I think I'm pronouncing his name right, selected you folks to carry the club's legacy on.
Yeah, very much so. You know, even in our very earliest meetings with the family and Mike, we really saw that this was, and I love it when this occurs, this was really about who can really be thoughtful and carry a shared legacy forward, respecting, you know, the growth and legacy of this, you know, family and Mike and all the time and energy and love, frankly, that they put into building this club into, you know, something sustainable for the future. So, you know, often, you know, you go into these arrangements and you're ticking boxes, as you always have to with a deal. But this was much more about, okay, what does 5 years from now look like in your mind? Where do you think you can take the club? This is what we're thinking, and really just synergizing with just wonderful human beings to obviously secure their legacy, but further secure the club's legacy for the members and future members into, you know, the distant future. It was just such a wonderful process with that whole group that I look forward to giving them updates about all that we are planning to put in place at that property, because I know it's going to be received with love, care, and attention. And, you know, that's a unique thing.
Yes. Wonderful. Wonderful experience to have that kind of bonding. All right. Now we've got to go to the part where I'm going, wow. All right. You've recently announced a new technology you're implementing at some point. Can you tell us more about the autonomous robotic mower?
I tell you what, and this may be the case for you as well. If somebody had told me when I got into the golf industry all those years ago that I would be discussing autonomous mowers, I would have been surprised. Let me just say that. Now that, you know, the technology has improved so much, and our head of agronomy, Danny Gwynn, has been monitoring all of the developments in this space, and I couldn't tell you what year it was, but a number of years ago, you know, they were trying to sell the robot mowers for your lawn and things like that. But obviously, you know, my lawn and what it may need to look decent for a car driving by is very different than what a premium golf property is going to need for the health of the turf and the playability for the members. So it didn't look like those things were going to converge. But Danny started working very closely a number of years ago with a development team that came from really more of a global agronomic point of view, where they were looking to create an absolutely top of the line, magnificent product that could be controlled with the detail of an expert and really handle all conditions. And the key point is that you know, grass being a living thing, the, you know, the maintenance and the care and the treatment of that product is obviously primary to our club experience, but it's also dependent on people. And sometimes, you know, based on temperature or weather conditions, the wind, whatever it may be, the grass needs taken care of in times that may not be totally suitable to the human workforce, right?
Mm-hmm.
This allows us to really drill in. But the most important factor for us is that this unit and this product allows us to take care of some of the greater grass areas like fairways while freeing up our team to take their labor capacity and focus it on the details, on the projects, on the bunkers, on, you know, the lining of the cart paths, on, you know, tree arbor work, on all of the little pieces that make a golf course go from good to great.
Yes.
And although we are always focused on that, you know, every day, allowing our team the freedom to know that, you know, your fairways are being mowed autonomously under the direction of the superintendent. So we have now unlocked, you know, 20% labor capacity to go improve our courses every day in every way we can think of. It is given us the opportunity to revolutionize how we are approaching our agronomic practice and plan. And it is all down to, you know, this kind of collision of technology, science, and the art of agronomy, frankly. And couldn't be more excited to see how this develops.
Yeah, it's great. I mean, doing fairways is like, oh, my God.
Yep.
Here we go. But if it's done by a robot, you know, and you can do all the other little things that need to be done to really spiff it up, that's perfect. Congratulations on all that you do. Aaron Straub, Senior Vice President of Operations, Concert Golf Partners in Lake Mary, Florida. Thank you so much for being in the clubhouse. Pleasure talking with you.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
Aloha. Bye. We're going to come back. Michael Patrick Shields is going to join us in the clubhouse. I got the forecast. I got some tee times. And the ladies are on the course after this. My name is Danielle Tucker, and this is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
PGA Junior League is a fun team golf experience for kids that the entire family can enjoy.
Boys and girls learn the game from PGA and LPGA professionals and have a great time with friends.
Find your team and get ready for a fun and exciting PGA Junior League season.
I want to see you out playing in your jersey and having fun. Visit PGAJuniorLeague.com.
What does your company sell? Do you provide a service, fill a need, sell insurance or real estate, or that must-have new car? Become a sponsor of Danielle Tucker's The Golf Club radio show. We reach a pure target audience of business owners. Let us help you. We have affordable rates and it's easy to do. Just email rick@radiogolfclub.com or call Rick at 808-220-1000. Reach the people like you who are too busy running their business. That's Rick at RadioGolfClub.com or call 808-220-1000.
You know, it finally stopped raining, sort of. I don't want to jinx it. I'm sorry if I have, but the weather forecast is for sunny conditions at times, rainy conditions, a little cloudy, overcast. Interesting. It's going to just be like that. But it, you know, finally stopped raining like the way it did in the very beginning. To help you through the chaos that it has caused, Aloha Power, they've got the After the Rain sale. Honda generators, pumps, chainsaws, whackers, trimmers, a whole lot more, and up to 25% off. Yes, 25% off. We have service and parts and accessories for every rider. From home to commercial sized, you mow it and you blow it and you bag it and you're done. Doesn't that sound great? Get what you need at Aloha Power Equipment, Evile, next to the Costco gas station, and in Waipahu.
I'm 9 now, but when I was 8, I'd do things I wasn't supposed to.
You don't talk when people are putting.
Always repair the ball mark.
You keep your own score, so you have to know how to act.
And you gotta tell the truth.
Put a golf club in kids' hands and watch them grow.
If you do certain things that you're not supposed to, you get a shot added to your score. You don't want to do those things.
The First Tee teaches kids values that will impact their communities and the rest of their lives.
If it wasn't for golf, I'd be like my friends, a couch potato.
Visit thefirsttee.org to learn more.
Poipu Bay on Kauai South Shore has reopened to rave reviews. Come play our newly renovated greens. Bring the family, invite some friends. When you stand on that tee box, see that view, you'll know why Poipu Bay makes any day special. Come, join the aloha at Poipu Bay, where golf is played. Call 808-742-8711. Your tee time is waiting.
Off a tree, hit a rock, and bounce next to the pin. That's my kind of golf. Now, back to Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club.
Ah, the JM Eagle LA Championship presented by Plas Pro. It's underway. Siyoung Kim, 14 under. Now, I've been deprived of a leaderboard, so I'm giving you leaderboard information from a couple of hours ago. But this is Chizzy EY, 13 under. Ina Yun, 12 under. So close. And then there's the tie for 9 under. Jihin Im, Melanie Green, Jessica Porvaznik. They're all, it's going to be good. So if you can tune in your TV, you're going to really enjoy that. Speaking of enjoying, the Scratch Team. That's what they call themselves, the Scratch Team. At Makalei, there's an 840, a 928, and a 1010, and that's where the Scratch Team is playing. Kauai Farmers, they're not farming today. No, they're on the golf course at Poipu. There's a 950, an 11 o'clock, and a 1210, if you'd like to be there. Swinging Skirts, that group is out on the golf course at Pearl at Kalaoau. If you'd like to be there too, how about the 1050? And Day Old Fish. Well, they're playing at Turtle Bay, I guess, right? But that's the club, the little club of people that are playing the Day Old Fish. 10:18, there's a tee time for you. Royal Hawaiian Golf Course. A movie crew is on the course, but they won't say what movie they're filming. But there's a 10:30 you might like to get to. And now we bring him in, Michael Patrick Shields, my travel guru extraordinaire, Hollywood insider. His home base is, you know, Beverly Hills, life's rough. Welcome into the clubhouse, Michael Patrick.
Hello and aloha from the Wild West today. Reno, Tahoe territory of Nevada, which is diverse and interesting. I'm having as much fun as I possibly can, and there's plenty of golf here, too.
Yes. There's
plenty of gaming for the Hawaiians who want to game and golf.
And there are a lot of gaming, golfing Hawaiians.
Well, you don't have gaming in Hawaii, right? So you got to come somewhere else, true?
Right, right. I mean, we don't have casinos here. I mean, no.
That's what I mean.
Yeah. So, you know, unless you're...
By the way, that movie that they're shooting on the golf course, could it be the Danielle Tucker story? And if so, who would play Danielle Tucker?
Where, you know, I love your mind. You go off into the most fascinating places. Michael Patrick, what brings you to Reno, Nevada?
The same thing that might bring you, and that is golf and beautiful scenery and excitement and history. For instance, the Edgewood Tahoe Golf Club, which is right on the shores of Lake Tahoe, and there are plenty of casinos across the street and entertainment. And all of that will be back again just after the 4th of July. It's been more than 30 years, if you watched it on television, that special celebrity golf tournament they have. And it's a beautiful spot. You can have a lot of fun with them and the PGA Tour. And you can play that golf course, too, when the celebrities aren't here. But if you come for that tournament, you'll be up close and personal with the likes of Charles Barkley and all those other celebrity players. But that's number one, I think, on the list here. And as you might know, the PGA Tour played at Old Greenwood, which is in Truckee up the other side of the lake. And it's a Jack Nicklaus course. It's a lot of fun. And it's near the site of the Donner Pass. Now, you might know it's a pretty grim thing to remember, but they were settlers who were making their way west, and they got caught in a giant snowstorm. And, well, it wasn't chicken fingers they were eating when it came down to it. It was each other's fingers.
Isn't that, oh, my goodness. I mean, that's history right there. I love going to a place, yes, that has, you know, a story to tell. This one was terrible. You know, we're having a lot of glitch. It must be those fingers. It's a lot of glitch in the when we're talking to you. So it's a little glitchy. And I was wondering if we should, like, I could do, do something while you call back in so we can get a clean conversation here. What do you think?
Okay. Is this any better?
Not really. No, it's. I think we need to start from scratch. Oh, dear. So, yes, we're going to go to Augusta National. Do you know the course evolution? Steve Pike was talking about this. You know, they're talking about whether they should increase the length of the Masters or roll back the ball.
Okay. I got full bars. What can I tell you?
You got four bars. I think you're doing very well. You sound much livelier.
Thank you. Okay. The PGA Tour was also here for the Reno Tahoe Open all those years. You might remember at Montreux Golf Club. And Phil Weidinger is a well-known PR man here. He would send you to Genoa Golf Course, where there are two different courses right near the oldest bar in all of Nevada, which, of course, I had to go to, called the Thirst Parlor. And it's a Wild West saloon that they started it in 1863, and they're still drinking on that spot. And I did yesterday, too, and you can, too.
Did you say that it's called the Thirst Parlor?
Thirst Parlor. Isn't that an elegant name for
a booze place?
A Wild West saloon where there were, you know, dangerous poker players and women and all the rest of it. All the stuff you saw in the movies.
I think the Thirst Parlor, I think it's ingenious.
Yeah.
You go in there, you could
really cool.
Right, you could be getting a Coca-Cola or a glass of water, you know, but no, we're probably not drinking either one of those. So
that's one of the oldest bars in Nevada. Now, one of the newest, I'm sure you're going to be intrigued by this, Lisa Vanderpump from Vanderpump Rules has opened up a place called Wolf. And Wolf is so, so elegant and exciting. It's bumping, as the kids would say. And it's in Lake Tahoe. And they have these amazing craft cocktails like Vanderpump Mules instead of Moscow Mules. And some of the drinks come out with cotton candy around them. And the dishes are delicious. And you will feel like a celebrity. And Lisa Vanderpump is there from time to time at Wolf.
Wow.
So get a table there, I would say, if you can.
Yeah. Yeah. When I found out that you're in Reno, Nevada, I kind of looked it up, and Reno and Lake Tahoe are bustling with spring activities. Of course, there's, you know, in addition to the Thirst Parlor where you want to go, you can go hiking. Emerald Bay, there's a lovely hiking place. They have Pink Floyd, the Laser Spectacular is going to be, and all of this stuff is going on in this area. This is fantastic.
Yeah, you can get in Crystal Bay on a nice boat. It's like a cruise ship, like an old-fashioned paddle boat, and go to that place you mentioned, Emerald Bay, on a two-hour cruise, and it's really, really sweet and very, very fun. You want something unusual before we go? You haven't had breakfast yet, have you?
No, I haven't had breakfast yet. I had breakfast at, wait a minute, I had breakfast at 4 o'clock this morning. I'm waiting on lunch.
When you are in Lake Tahoe,
yes,
you can go to a place adjacent to the Heavenly Ski Resort called the Fox and Hound. And Man vs. Food went there on television, if you've ever seen that show.
No, I haven't.
They have the Menu Burger, it's called. And if you order this Menu Burger, as the name implies, it has a lot of things on it, on the menu.
Uh-huh.
You have 1 hour to eat it. And if you finish that in 1 hour, free. If not, $65.
Woo!
And there is a woman who did it. She ate it in 3 minutes and 22 seconds.
Oh, my word.
Her name is Molly Schuyler. Would you like to know what's on the menu burger?
Yes, I would like to know what's on the menu burger.
The base of it is a personal-sized pizza, on top of which is the bacon cheeseburger, barbecue pulled pork, two fried eggs, chili cheese garlic fries, a cheesesteak, a teriyaki chicken sandwich, pineapple jalapenos, 1 pound of hot wings, and a side salad for your lettuce.
Oh,
all
my.
On one burger.
Wait a minute. She ate that in 3 minutes?
Yeah, 3 minutes and 22 seconds.
That's incredible. I'm feeling ill.
Yeah. It is astonishing. And I don't think she could swing a golf club after that, but maybe she could try.
Where's your favorite dinner spot? Where would you recommend people go for dinner?
Well, Wolf was pretty exciting because it's the new kid on the block, of course.
Okay.
And because of the Lisa Vanderpump, if you watch that show and so forth. So if you're coming to town, I would definitely recommend you get a table. If you like movies, Godfather 2, of course, was shot here where Fredo went fishing and never came back.
Yes.
Top Gun 2, parts of it were shot here. Bowling is huge in Reno, and I'm standing right across from the Carson City, state capital of Nevada, which I had a tour of just a few minutes ago. So you can mix all that golf I told you about in with all this fun. And I don't know, the French like to eat rabbit, don't they?
Yes. Yes, bunnies.
Well, there's a place called the Bunny Ranch, if you're adventurous, you can try out near Carson City. And if you don't know what it is, after the show, Google it. You'll be in for a big surprise.
I think I know what you're talking about. Michael Patrick Shields, my travel guru extraordinaire, Hollywood insider. Thank you so much for being inside the clubhouse. It's always a giggle. Thank you, Michael Patrick.
Hippity hoppity, Easter's on its way.
And I want to thank
here
the
comes Peter Cottontail. Hopping to the Bunny Ranch.
Oh, dear, the Bunny Ranch. That's the one. We're going to have to thank the people who make this show possible. Welcome the Newtown Driving Range. Warm up before your round. Wind down after work. The Newtown Range, operated by the Casey Nakama Golf Group. It's good golf, good food, good fun. Aloha Power. You work smarter, faster, and easier with Aloha Power tools. With our sale, Honda generators, water pumps, chainsaws, riding, walking mowers, whackers, a whole lot more. Get yours today. Aloha Power Equipment. They're open Monday through Saturday. Evile next to the Costco gas station, that is, and in Waipahu. Also, the Aloha Section PGA. Teach your children to play golf. Seriously, it's the gift that lasts forever. It'll help them when they're in business or playing. It's just so much fun. For self, for health, for friendship and family, go golf. And Claude Brusseau, Master PGA Teaching Professional at the Wailea Golf Academy, Wailea, Maui. And just because we have another minute here, for today, Hawaii will experience moderate to breezy trade winds with highs around 81 to 83 and lows 60 to 73, depending on how high the elevation that you're in. Okay, this is, I love this. The day will feature a mix of sun and clouds, 25% to 60% chance of showers, particularly in the afternoon with potential for thunderstorms. Key forecast details for today, conditions, light rain and showers with clouds increasing in the afternoon. Temperatures, as I mentioned, 81 degrees, going to get warm, 61 at night, going to get cold. Honolulu, the high will be, oh dear, they won't tell me, but they'll tell us there's a 20% chance of morning showers turning mostly sunny. Big Island and Windward areas, potential for brief afternoon thunderstorms, and coastal waters, moderate to locally breezy trade winds expected to continue. So it is recommended to carry rain gear, as showers may be quick but frequent. For the most up-to-date conditions, we must always check in with the National Weather Service. Thank you for your mana. May you hit the sweet spot every time. My name is Danielle Tucker, and this is The Golf Club.
Listening to the award-winning Golf Club radio show with Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club Network statewide. Tune in next week, and we'll tee it up together only on The Golf Club.
KORL, Waianae, Honolulu.